Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Ja'Cory Kroski-Mir, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up? And welcome back to another week, another episode, another rendition of the Week 6 Top 10 Thoughts Show. Week 5 is in the books in the NFL, and there's officially zero, count them, zero undefeated teams left in the NFL after Buffalo goes down this weekend at the hands of the mighty New England Patriots. Of course, the Colts are 4-1. We had the Eagles go down to the Broncos at home. Detroit's 4-1 as well. And Tampa's 4-1 and San Fran's 4-1. So we do have, what, 4-1 teams. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe the shocker for most people, 3-1 sitting atop the AFC, the muddy, the disgusting, the despicable AFC North. Think about that ticket you could have cashed, or I guess you could probably cash it today, but Pittsburgh being 3-1. At the third of the way through the season turn, Bengals 2-3, Baltimore and Cleveland both 1-4. Just disgusting. Just a disgusting, despicable conference. And I'm not the Ravens didn't even make the top 10 thoughts show this morning. This is the worst Baltimore Ravens football team in the history of the Baltimore Ravens, which dates back to 1996, right? This is, from a statistical standpoint, I'm talking defensively. Now, I know they got Lamar, yada, yada, yada. But when you look statistically, yards, points. Offensively, I mean, they're sixth in points. They're scoring points to a certain extent. Defensively, they've given up 177 points to this point of the season. Now, that is 12 more points. This isn't even in the show. That's 12 more points and that 2000 Baltimore Ravens team that won the Super Bowl, the great defense, they give up 165 on the entire season. 16 games, they give up 165 points. This Ravens team through five games has given up 177. The Baltimore Raven franchise has finished three times as the number one scoring defense. Twelve times in 28 years, they've been a top five scoring defense. Never in the history of the Baltimore Ravens have they been the worst scoring defense, aka giving up the most points in a season, week over week. This is the year. This is the worst defense the Baltimore Ravens have ever had, and they're 31st in yards, 32nd in points. They've never been 32nd in yards. They've been 30th in yards before. That was in 1996, the worst season in the history of the Baltimore Ravens. That was the year they won four games, 4-12. And if you do the projection math here, they're on track to win four games, right? Or 3.5, technically, I guess you'd say, because it'd be 2-8, it'd be 3-12. It's like 3.25 games is what they're predicted to win right now, which would be the worst team in the history of the Baltimore Ravens, which is maniacal. Again, 25% of the roster has been banged up. But anyway, Top 10 Thought Show. I'm Cody Carpentier with RosterWatch.com. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe. Lock in, tap in every single Monday for the Top 10 Thought Show. Sunday, we did the Start or Stream show here on the Roster Watch YouTube channel. Tomorrow, Tuesday, will be the Waiver Wire show with Alex Dunlap and the Trash Man. And then on Friday, Alex will be back and we will be doing the Week 6 preview show. You do not want to miss the Week 6 preview show because there's some fun games on tap and some fun conversations that do need to be had. Top 10 thoughts. Let's go with it right now. Number one, we just talked about the AFC. I brought up the AFC East just a little bit, and I'm going to dive into the AFC East even deeper right here. Number one thought from the weekend, Drake May is him. Yes, I might have lost half the audience calling him, but I mean, that's what the kids are saying these days. Like, at least my high school age brother, Tiger, is, oh, he's him. Drake May is bonafiably him. Like, he put on a masterclass on Sunday night and did it without throwing a touchdown pass. I mean, I think that everybody in America was impressed with Drake May. 22 of 30, 273 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, rushed for 12 yards on three carries, really didn't have a run game with New England, but his connection with Stephon Diggs was uncanny on Sunday night. And some of the plays that Drake May made were, there's only a couple names in the sport that can make them. Mahomes, Herbert, I think Caleb Williams can make some of those throws down the sideline that Drake May made a couple of times. Burrow can make some of those throws. Stafford, Josh Allen, obviously, I think I mentioned him before, but there's only a few names that can do what Drake May did on Sunday night. And I think that was Drake May's official coming out party. And as far as Dynasty goes, this boy's name is going to have to go up because he did it with a 30-year-old Stephon Diggs, Kayshon Boutte, and Hunter Henry. And this feels, I was telling Alex and Wes, when we were doing our Circa Millions picks this week, I want to stay away from this Buffalo game. 7.5 points for Buffalo at home. Feels right. We stayed away because New England told me last week with that game, scoring 42 at home against Carolina, that was the warning signal. And I saw it and I heard it and I listened to it. And then Vrabel came out on Sunday night and this was a Mike Vrabel football team. The defense came to play, and like that's when you know Vrabel's there, is when that defense follows suit. Number two, we need to have a wide receiver six conversation in Dynasty. This is a very real conversation that needs to be had, and it centers around two guys that played against each other this weekend. And you could say recency bias A, recency bias B. That's not how this works. JSN and Emeka Egbuka. I've had JSN at the wide receiver 5-6 spot since December. Ibuka, I've had at wide receiver 9 for the better part of a month. Coming into the weekend, I think Ibuka's in a better offense long term, better situation long term. Mike Evans will obviously eventually retire. Godwin's got 3-4 years left in Tampa at least. McMillan's nice. Baker's going to be there for at least 3-4 more years. I can't say the same for the situation in Seattle. Inconsistent offensive line, inconsistent quarterback play. I don't know how long Sam Darnold's going to be there. He could be there. He could be their future for the next. He could be the Baker. He could be there. And they have a great connection. I don't know. I mean, they love the tight ends up there. A.J. Barner, Elijah Arroyo, Torrey Horton looks good. I don't know what the running game's going to look like. The offensive line, like I said before, the situation in Tampa feels a lot better to me than it does for Seattle, both of these guys. I mean, I was texting the group, our Roster Watch group chat this week, and I was like, man, is there a better like vibe feeling? Is there a better thing? I think I said like visually it was my favorite game this weekend with Tampa and Seattle. I said, I don't like Tampa, Seattle, such an eye-appealing game. These jerseys, these receivers, the shootout, like it was the perfect game of the weekend. And these two just duke, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to the final punch was a Chase McLaughlin 39-yard field goal to win the game. Ibuka and JSN combined for 15 catches, 295 yards and two touchdowns. Just a maniacal, fun output. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Number three, I know Cleveland is Cleveland, but what a trip to Europe for Minnesota. Like, just a maniacal trip. You go over there, and J.J. McCarthy's banged up, and you got some offensive linemen that are – you get Darisaw back. You lose to Pittsburgh. You almost come back and beat Pittsburgh, but you lose a lot of players. You lose your – you're obviously down your quarterback, your running back, your left guard, your center. Your right guard was down for a little bit. Your right tackle. At one point in this game against Cleveland, Minnesota was down all five linemen. All five backups were in. Your DN, starting DN, starting linebacker and Cashman. All these guys are out. And they have a comeback against Pittsburgh that falls short and a comeback against Cleveland that fulfills with a touchdown pass to Jordan Addison, who didn't play in the first quarter because he was on like a one-quarter suspension because he was out late the night before and skipped a walkthrough. Like, just maniacal. And, like, my thought here is, like, this is a football team. Like, if this football team gets healthy, this Viking football team is going to be pretty solid. And y'all know me. I'm very much wishy-washy on the whole Viking situation because I grew up watching them and stuff. But this team, it's got a different – it's got a weird feel to it. And I think you have to respect the defense. And when they get healthy on both sides, it'll be very interesting. Big thing. They got a bye this week. I think they roll with Carson Wentz. Next, so not next week, obviously, not week six, but week seven, Minnesota's back up home against Philadelphia. Is Carson Wentz the quarterback against Philadelphia? Does Carson Wentz welcome Philadelphia in the U.S. Bank Stadium, where he last stepped foot in that stadium was the Super Bowl that he didn't get to play in, and Nick Foles got the Super Bowl trophy? Is this his revenge? Is Carson Wentz getting his revenge in week seven? And then they got Thursday Night Football against the Chargers on a short week. Detroit, Baltimore. It's going to come flying fast at the Vikings out of the break, so they need to get healthy. But I just thought it was a maniacal trip. 2 weeks over the obviously over there. Thought number four from the weekend. The utilization of Bill Kroski Merritt and Trayvon Henderson has been an absolute joke through the first month of the season. An absolute joke. And you might say, well, dude, well, didn't we just get – I mean, Kroski Merritt just broke out. Kroski Merritt just had 150 yards, scored two touchdowns. Like, Kroski Merritt's here. Yeah, 14 carries, buck 11, averaging 7.9. I think he's averaging, like, you know, 13 yards per carry on the season. It's a joke. But 16 touches in this game, 150 yards. And still underutilized. You still look up and it's like early in the game before he really – a lot of this work came in the second half that where he really started to – it's like late second quarter, third quarter. That's really when Kroski Merritt started getting going. But they like refused to use the dude in the first quarter every week. And they get down 10-0 to the Chargers. Kroski Merritt touches the ball, bounces outside, gains 15. Kroski Merritt touches the ball, bounces outside, gains 20. Play after play after play, 27. 28. That's what he does. He makes plays. And it makes no sense why he doesn't get the ball more. And we're seeing the utilization creep up and creep up and creep up. And I texted again in our group chat this weekend that I said, how is he not getting the ball more? It's just bewildering to me. This was early in the game. I said he literally wanted, like, take this for what it is. Bill Kroski Merritt is one of the 20 best running backs in the NFL. Period. Snap share. 50% today, Sunday, whatever. 29%, 23%, 39%, 34%, 50%. You give him 50% of the snaps, and guess what happens? 27 fantasy points, 150 yards. You come back from 10-0 to beat one of the best teams in the sport. We've been talking about it for, what, 2 months? Now let's go to the New England side of the ball. Why is the utilization for Trayvon Henderson so stupid? Ramondre Stevenson has fumbled more than any other non-quarterback in the NFL the last 2 years. Period. Nobody's fumbled more. Meanwhile, Trayvon Henderson literally never fumbled one time in college. The ball is clearly not the program for the New England Patriots. The ball is not the program for the New England Patriots. Trayvon got 48% of the snaps, but that's fine. It's no different than the last 4 weeks. Look at this. Week two, 29%. Week three, 48%. Ooh, we're growing. Week four, 29%. Wait, weren't we just here? Week five, 48%. Hey, we're back. all of the targets it feels like that Travion gets are not planned targets. They're not plays written up for Travion. And I shouldn't say anything bad about Vrabel. This is more about Josh McDaniels. He calls the offensive plays. But Vrabel does come out in the media this week and say he's asked about James Cook and who they use to mirror James Cook. And he says, you know, if we had somebody like James Cook, we'd play him. It takes a lot from – it's tough for me to hold back and not swear right now. You got him. You got him. He's right there. Unless we're blind and we're dumb. Like, this is – I don't know what I'm missing here. Travion must suck. This doesn't make any sense. Antonio Gibson, listen, I've long loved Antonio Gibson, but him getting these, you know, four or five touches a game is, he looks better than Ramondre. I don't know why Ramondre is getting the football or playing at a 65% clip. He should be your situational guy. If you want to play Ramondre, you play him on your short yardage downs, you get him a couple of receptions a game, you get him around the goal line in the red zone, but Travion is your between the 20s every time, every play. Every time, every play. I'm done. Number five, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver one season, is officially here. It's reported that the Dolphins will be cutting Tyreek Hill at the end of the year. Of course, he went down with the gruesome knee injury last week. But Jalen Waddle completely, when we talk about this in the Start Sit show, bounces into a 26% target share, up 5% from week four, up 8% week over week from week three. And this is his offense. 23 fantasy points for Jalen Waddle. I don't know what to say. This is exactly kind of, again, what we talked about in the preseason and the offseason about the idea that the Dolphins could suck and trade Tyreek. Obviously, they don't trade Tyreek. Obviously, he gets hurt. So we get to the finish line, but it's not for the same reason that we wanted to. Only once last year, Jalen Waddle hit 30% target share. That was in week four, 28% in week five. And neither time he scored double-digit fantasy points. In week 12, he had 28 fantasy points. That was his only game north of 21 fantasy points in 2024. Of course, here in 2025, he just hit 23 fantasy points on a 26% target share. I think it's going to continue to grow. This is Waddle's offense now. Waller looks good, but this is Waddle's offense. Number six, Rico Dowdle. This is a back. I mean, I went from 1 second thinking, wow, this is going to have a 200-yard rushing performance again. We hadn't had one since Knowshon Moreno back in like 2011 with a 200-yard performance, a loss. Derrick Henry did it earlier this year. We're about to have another one with Rico Dowdle, but Miami forgot how to tackle, and they just fell apart in that second half. 27 opportunities, 234 total yards for Rico Dowdle, the most yards from scrimmage by a player this year. Beat Taylor by 19, beat Henry by 52. I had no idea he had this in him. His previous best was 149 rushing yards, which was playing for Dallas at Carolina, funny enough. And interestingly enough, to come full circle, 149 rushing yards against Carolina when he played for Dallas. This week, he did it as a Carolina back, rushes for 200 yards. Next week, in week six, guess who comes to town? Dallas. 67% of snaps. This dude had 234 yards. I can take the L on that. I thought Mr. Etienne was going to get a lot more of these opportunities. Number seven, Kendre Miller is slowly taking over more and more work. I think it's going to happen. I think Kamara's going to go to Arizona. Kamara's going to get to Kansas City. I mean, you name it. There's a situation. Oh, man, shit. He might go to Washington. We might get totally swindled and totally cucked with this Jacory Kroski-Merritt situation. Shit, he might go to New England. They might put him in New England and completely swindle our Travion Henderson. Would that shock you at all if Kamara went to New England? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me one iota. Houston's another interesting spot. Anyways, Alvin Kamara and Kendre Miller. The Kendre Miller situation has been a buy. He's been a buy all year. As soon as we saw him playing week one healthy and he was running around and he looked good, healthy Kendre Miller is a great running back. Healthy Kendre Miller can do everything Rico Dowdle can do. Kendre Miller snap share, 13%, 16%, 27%, 32%, 20% in week five. Week over week, it's growing and growing and growing. Alvin Kamara, since week two, 85%, 74%, 72%, 53%. They won that game, by the way. And they came back in that game down 14-3 in the second quarter. And Kendre had more carries than Alvin Kamara. Rushed for 4.1 yards per carry. Added a reception in that game. I'll talk about another player here in a minute, but there's never been a bigger buy at this point in the year from a guy that's not getting any conversation in the big media. Nothing. Nothing. Kendre Miller. Go, you like, you can go. I'll pull it up right now. I got to get out of here. I'm talking for way too long today. It's only been 20 minutes. I got interviews to be at, press conferences to be a part of. Let me pull up some Kendre Miller trades just because why wouldn't we pull up some Kendre Miller trades? Kendre's the guy. So here's a deal you can do to go get Kendre Miller right here, right now. Rashid Shaheed for Kendre Miller. Kendre Miller for Jaden Higgins. These all happened today. Kendre Miller for Dylan Sampson. Kendre Miller for a 26 second. Kendre Miller for a 28 second. Kendre Miller and a second for Debo. Tony Pollard for Kendre Miller. I mean, these are a little rich. I will say these are a little rich. Like, they feel like the market's right. Kendre Miller and a third for Jacoby Myers and a second. He was a throw-in for the Saquon deal. Trevor Etienne, Keenan Allen, Javonte Williams, Saquon, Kendre. Kendre Miller, second-round pick for Troy Franklin and Tyquan Thornton. These are all dynasty trades, by the way. I'm still buying them at all those price tags. Number eight, Mason Taylor is here officially. Usually it takes these rookie tight ends a little bit. Obviously not Tyler Warren and Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers, but Mason Taylor erupted this weekend against the Cowboys in a losing effort. 9 receptions, 67 yards on 12 targets. Second week in a row with 60-plus yards, and he looks great. I mean, they've been looking for a number two. They've had, you know, Josh Reynolds has been banged up. Tyler Johnson was there. He's been banged up, yada, 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 yada. We've been wish-casting the Mason Taylor thing, but I think it's truly here for good. To another tight end that came through in year two now, number nine, speaking of tight ends, Theo Johnson, our big phenom from Penn State that we loved just a year ago through the pre-draft process. 25% and 18% target shares under Jackson Dart. Career highs, both. 3 touchdowns on 12 targets. My Hayfield math tells me that's 25% of his targets are touchdowns. Pretty good. Not predictable, but when you have 100% of the end zone targets in week five, kind of predictable. Career high in targets and receptions this week. He seems to be, with Malik Nabers out of the lineup, Jackson Dart's favorite target. Number 10, Torrey Horton. I feel vindicated by my Torrey Horton ranking in the pre-draft cycle. Had him at wide receiver 6. We have the great debate on the Roster Watch YouTube channel between me and Alex. 25 minutes long. I can't believe we debated for 25 minutes about Torrey Horton, Jaden Higgins, and Jalen Noel. He's a touchdown each 3 of the 4 games this year. He's neutered all the other wide receivers in that room, the Bobos, the Derek Youngs. He got MVS cut. I think he's on the heels of Cooper Kupp right now. If they didn't love these tight ends so much, Torrey Horton would, I think, be more at the forefront. 4 targets each of the last, or 3 of the last 4 games. 1 point per game behind Cooper Kupp in fantasy points this year. It's a clear rising buy in dynasty right now. I brought up Kendre Miller. Kendre and Torrey Horton, the 2 buys of the week right now. Clear cut. Clear cut. Speaking of Seahawks, how are you enjoying the Seahawks backfield for those of you that drafted Ken Walker and Mr. Charbonnet? Zach Charbonnet came back to near 100% health. He played in the game. Right back to 55% of the snaps. And he outscored Ken Walker. Neither broke 15 points, though. That's only happened in week 2 and 3 when Charbonnet got hurt. This is the split. When we have the sample size we need, we have to believe and trust in the sample size that we got. And Seattle's given us the sample size that we need, got, and earn. Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet, in the lineup together. Charbonnet, 59%. Ken Walker, 41%. That's week 1. Charbonnet outscores him. Week two, 55% Charbonnet, 36% Ken Walker. Ken Walker outscores him because he gets the lucky touchdowns. Remember that week two game? He fell in the end zone twice, had like 12 yards rushing. A little hyperbole there. Week three, Charbonnet's injured. So Ken Walker scores 18 points. Again, ooh, trend line, we're following it. No, 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 no. We warned you. Week four, 45% for Charbonnet. He's back in the lineup. Ken Walker, 52%. Ken Walker scores 12 fantasy points. Zach Charbonnet scores 12 fantasy points. Week five, 43% for Ken Walker. Again, down 9% from week four. Zach Charbonnet, 57%, up 12% from week four. This is Charbonnet's backfield. It's disgusting, it's despicable, and it's untouchable. Honorable mention, number three. Maybe this should be higher, but it's just such a fun thought. Like Bijan Robinson, I know didn't play this weekend. Jonathan Taylor, three touchdowns. And Jahmyr Gibbs, like there's no better talent. There's no better running back in the NFL from a talent perspective right now than those three. And they're just so fun to watch. There's some dudes growing. I get it. Quinshon, Omarion, Ashton Jeanty, Scadaboo's been fun. Bill's fun. All these rookies are fun. But man, those three backs, Bijan, Jonathan Taylor, and Jahmyr Gibbs, different level at the running back position right now. And I absolutely am enjoying the hell out of it. Last thought. Shout out to Emeka Egbuka. We talked about him at number two thought of the day. Emeka Egbuka is now number three all-time in fantasy points through the first five games of the year. Number one, Randy Moss, 463 yards and six touchdowns. Number two, Puka Nacua, 572 yards and two touchdowns. Number three, Emeka Egbuka, 445 and five touchdowns on 25 receptions. And Jamar Chase, he just edged him out, 23 receptions, 456 and five. He just edged out Jamar Chase, who, again, Alex and I loved Emeka Egbuka. Loved him. But I will say, Byron does get a shout out because he did say he kind of looks like Jamar Chase when he went down there to training camp. And that's why we love you guys, because you guys allow us to go to training camps every single fall at rosterwatch.com. We appreciate you. We love you. Make sure you tap in, lock into everything over at Roster Watch Nation. Until tomorrow for the Waiver Wire Show, we appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you.